Good fathers are essential for healthy children, for secure families, and an orderly society.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, happy Father's Day, everyone. And I noticed as we were watching that, there was talking about some of the roles dads play. Electricians came up, and that got a particular woohoo from back there somewhere. I can't imagine where that must have come from there. But anyway, but we do want to wish a very happy Father's Day to all of our dads here and to those who are watching online as well. We honor you, and we thank you, and we love you. We thank you for your love, your protection, your provision, your wisdom, and your example. I know it can be a tough day, though, for some of us, though, too, because some of us didn't have the fathers, perhaps, we would have wanted to have had. And I know that that can be difficult for us as well. But I want to remind all of us, though, whatever our situation, that we have a perfect heavenly Father in whom we can put our trust and in whom we can find our strength and our peace. We need him. We need our heavenly Father, and we need you, too. We need you, Dad. So we thank you and honor you then today, which is our message here today in Father's Day. We want to celebrate you and tell you that we need you and we appreciate you. What I want us to take away from this message here today is this central thought right here, that good fathers are essential. Good fathers are essential for healthy children, for secure families, and an orderly society. You know, we've been had this talk here about, we've heard a lot of talk about essential workers and non-essential workers during the COVID issue. And I don't know about you, but I was always, I understand the point that they were trying to make in using that terminology, but I didn't really like that terminology, the essential workers, as if everyone else who's not being called into work at that point is somehow non-essential or non-important. I didn't think that was very good terminology for that. So everyone is essential, and I want you to know that moms are essential to good, healthy families and children, right? But so too are dads. Dads are essential for that. I'm going to read you some studies here today that are going to show that and point that out in very clear terms. Because I think many of you know that we've been living for a time in our society in which the role of fathers, the importance of fathers, has been drastically downgraded, almost as if fathers are an afterthought to things. And a lot of times you'll see this sometimes like in television, like TV comedies, I think, can tell you a lot about the spirit of the age and what people are. And oftentimes, what do you see in TV comedies? Who is the dad? He's always what? He's the goofy one. Well, that's okay to be a little goofy, I suppose, right? But like what? He's kind of incompetent and ignorant, doesn't really know what he's doing. And mom always has to, you know, straighten him out and set things right. And mom is the hero in the family, right? Well, I love moms. We love moms. And we have some heroic moms, don't we? And I know it makes for good comedic fodder. But is that really what a dad is, just a goof? And an ignoramus? I don't think so, right? Dads are essential to healthy children, secure families, and an orderly society. So what I want us to talk about then here today is the importance, first of all, the importance of good fathers, and then some of the biblical characteristics of good fathers, as well as then seeking out help. We all need help, help from our heavenly good Father. You know, I got to warn you, right offhand here. At one point, I may say something that might be a little politically incorrect, but I'll ask you to stay with me then through that anyway. The other thing is this, is that today's message, today's sermon, is actually three sermons. You know, it's actually three sermons kind of combined into one. You know, we had someone a little while, I kind of kidded him about it this morning. Ralph Babineau, one of our elders, was preaching a message a little while back here now. And he had written it up, he got it all up, and he gave it to me to see what I thought of it. And I looked it all over. And I said, Ralph, this is great, but you know you have like two sermons here, right? And so we had to work it down there with that. And so I decided I'm going to violate my own rule because I liked what this had to say here today. It's actually three sermons, but we're going to try to crush it all into this one sermon. It's a little bit of one of those fire hose sermons I talk about sometimes. So just I'll turn the fire hose on and take what you will, what you can get out of this then here for today. So first off then, I want to talk about the importance of good fathers, the importance of good fathers. One of the things is that numerous studies, and I think it's important to read from both Christian sources and secular sources. You know, sometimes as believers, we'll read things, we'll see studies, and it's been commissioned or done by a parachurch organization, like Focus on the Family, for example, or something like that. And they're good studies there, but I want you to know, what we're going to quote from, what we're going to read here today, isn't only from Christian sources. This is coming from secular sources as well that are saying the same thing here about the importance of fathers in families here. So numerous studies then are showing the crucial role that fathers play in the development of healthy children, secure families, and an orderly society. So I want to just quickly look first at three major elements of the importance of good fathers, and then reflect on the results of some of these studies from both Christian and secular sources. First of all, the importance of good fathers, that they are essential, they are critical for healthy children. That good fathers help children to thrive. And I don't just mean physical health. I mean emotional health, psychological health, spiritual health, in all ways. That good fathers are essential for healthy children, to help children to thrive and to develop then into secure, responsible, well-adjusted adults. So fathers are critical for healthy children. Fathers are also critical, essential for secure families. That good fathers bring physical, financial, emotional, psychological, and spiritual security to a home. It gets so important for moms and for kids to feel secure in their home and in their family, and good fathers are essential in doing that then. And then finally then too here, for an orderly society, that good fathers are crucial to the maintenance of a well-ordered, safe society. As you know, there is a great deal of unrest in our society right now that we're seeing, aren't we? And one of the things, I was talking with someone about this just yesterday, that one of the things we have to be careful of is an oversimplification of complex issues or complex topics, right? Sometimes we look at a situation, I live by this mantra, you know, that truth is complex. Right? It's very rare that things are come down to something that's just very, very simple, and that covers all the bases of it. Usually, truth is complex. Situations are complex. Difficulties and problems are complex. So we have to beware of oversimplification of complex issues. But that said, we also need to beware of losing sight of very simple, basic truths in the midst of complexity. So I'm going to ask you just to step aside for just a moment here from our message today and say, I'm going to ask you to pray for me on something here. As I am in the stages, the early stages of developing a sermon series that will address a number of issues that are going on in our society right now. It is a series that will challenge us to think through the current zeitgeist or the spirit of the age, and then respond to that in love and truth to the spirit of the age with what the Spirit of God says about those things. And no doubt, everyone is going to find something to be offended about it at one point or another. And I mean it seriously, right? You know, I have no doubt everybody's going to be offended by something at one point or another. And here is why you will. I'm warning you ahead of time, right? We're still weeks out from this here. I'm warning you ahead of time, and this is why, is because faithful preaching of the Word of God is guaranteed to offend everyone at some point. If the Word of God never offends you, you're not listening, right? You're not hearing it, right? And so there are going to be times in that series when I'm going to say something, you say, that's right, preach it, Pastor. And then other times, like, wait a minute, I have to examine my heart. I might be wrong in some way about something. Well, that's what the Word of God does to us, doesn't it? Faithful preaching of the Word of God is guaranteed to offend everyone at some point, including the preacher, right? So that said, on the other hand, we need to be careful not to give needless offense. The Word of God, the gospel is offensive, isn't it? Because it tells the truth about people and the human condition. And sometimes people don't like to hear that. Now, it's wonderful news. It's the greatest news ever. But we have to deal with the reality of our condition, our sinful condition. And sometimes people don't like to hear that. But it is another thing, though, to give needless offense. We don't want to do that. So I'd ask that you would please pray for me about that series coming up. Meanwhile, back to our message today. I said, good fathers are crucial to the maintenance of a well-ordered, safe society. And as I said, at the risk of oversimplification, I believe that one of the major factors that we are seeing in our country now in all of this upheaval and unrest, and as I said, there are many factors, okay? But I think one of them, without a doubt, has been the loss of the importance of fatherhood in our society. I think that's what's happening here a lot of times. So we have said then that good fathers are crucial. They're crucial for healthy children, for secure families, and for an orderly society. And so I want to read you some of the results of some studies on this. First one talks about fathers and emotional development. Fathers and emotional development. It says that fathers, like mothers, are pillars in the development of a child's emotional well-being. Children look to their fathers to lay down the rules and enforce them. They also look to their fathers to provide a feeling of security, both physical and emotional. Children want to make their fathers proud, and an involved father promotes inner growth and strength. And studies have shown that when fathers are affectionate and supportive, it greatly affects a child's cognitive and social development. And it also instills an overall sense of well-being and self-confidence. So fathers are critical to children's emotional development. Also than this, fathers set the bar for relationships with others. It says, fathers not only influence who we are inside, but how we have relationships with people as we grow. The way a father treats his child will influence what he or she looks for in other people. Friends, lovers, and spouses will all be chosen based on how the child perceived the meaning of the relationship with his or her father. The patterns a father sets in the relationships with his children will dictate how his children relate with other people. Fathers and their daughters, says young girls depend on their fathers for security and emotional support. A father shows his daughter what a good relationship with a man is like. If a father is loving and gentle, his daughter will look for those qualities in men when she is old enough to begin dating. And if a father is strong and valiant, she will relate closely to men of the same character. This is a secular source for this study, by the way, folks, okay? Fathers and daughters. What about fathers and their sons? Unlike girls who model their relationships with others based on their father's character, boys model themselves after their father's character. Boys will seek approval from their fathers from a very young age. And as human beings, we grow up by imitating the behavior of those around us. And that is how we learn to function in the world. If a father is caring and treats people with respect, the young boy will grow up much the same. And when a father is absent, young boys look to other male figures to set the rules for how to behave and survive in the world. So this is another study then, also a secular study, by the way, that says this, that talks about the many, many benefits of having a dad who is actively involved in a child's life. It says it's worth looking at the benefits and remembering why it's good for children to spend regular time with their dad. Now, it gives then 20 different benefits, things that happen. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. We could, like I said, remember I said this is three sermons here today? So we're not going to do all that, but I just want to touch on some of those things very briefly here, okay? So what benefit is it for a father who is actively involved in the life of his children? Well, first off, for fun, that dads play differently with children. I don't know if you noticed this. The dads play who has observed that, that dads play differently with their children, right? What's the main difference with how a dad plays with a child versus how a mom plays with a child? It's a lot rougher. Dads are a lot rougher. What did I hear back here?
Less safe.
Less safe. I liked it. There you go. Okay. You know what? We've got this thing. Now, remember I said it's somebody, pray for me because I'm gonna offend somebody at some point down the line in this series coming up. I think one of the problems that we have going in our society right now is we have to be safe. Everyone has to feel safe. Well, the world isn't safe. Reality isn't safe. And dads help us to stand up to the fact that life is inherently unsafe, right? And so dads, I thought that was a great way that you said that and put that there then. So yeah, dads aren't safe with the kids, right? And I mean that in a healthy way that kids need because the world isn't safe, right? So kids need that. They need it. They need dads for balance, that children benefit from having two parents who have different opinions and personalities. Is that true? Do moms and dads have different opinions? I've heard that before. Is that true? Okay. So having parents then with different strengths, different weaknesses, different points of view helps children to grow up more well-rounded. So fun, balance. Also about this, to understand men. Children can only experience maleness from seeing male role models. And this is especially important for boys after the age of 6. This could be the male tendencies to protect, provide, educate, and set firm limits. For behavior, research shows that children with good enough dads, are there any perfect earthly dads out there? No, right? It's not about dad. You don't have to be perfect. You're not. You can't be. All right? But it says, being a good father does not mean being a perfect father, because there's only one perfect father, right? So research shows them that children with good dads in their lives are more likely to behave well. Does that surprise anybody? Should that surprise? I think it shouldn't, right? For their education, studies show consistently that children do better in school when dad is there and when dad is actively involved in their children's lives. For friendships, that children who have an involved dad are more likely to grow up with better social skills and to have stronger and closer friendships with less conflict. Mental health. Children who have an actively involved dad have a lower incidence of depression, suicide, self-harm, and other mental health problems than those who don't. Self-esteem. A dad's time and attention is a big factor in how children think of themselves. Spending time with a dad can boost a child's sense of their own worth. For confidence and strength, children tend to be more resilient and more confident when their dads are actively involved in their lives, and dads tend to instill more of a sense of adventure. For their future relationships with partners, it says children who have a good relationship with their dads and moms are more likely to have good relationships with their partners when they're older. In addition, dads teach their sons how to treat women, and they teach their daughters how to expect to be treated. For their best chances of stable relationships, children benefit most from seeing a good relationship between their mom and their dad. For understanding the role of a dad, children watch their dads to learn about what that role involves. And then when their old sons are more likely to become like their dads in that, girls are more likely to choose a man who is likely to be a good father to their children. Security. Children with a dad around are usually better off financially, and their children feel safer and secure, and they provide a safe home environment. For choosing the right path, children with a strong positive relationship with their dad have a lower chance of becoming criminals or abusing drugs, and they are less likely to engage in early sexual activity or to drop out of school. The ability to persevere, that is, a good dad can help a child to be persistent and to continue on, to persevere through hardship and difficulty in life. For competitiveness, Okay, I know we live in a world now where everyone gets a trophy, right? Can I tell you how much I hate that? Okay, who's offended now that I hate that everybody gets a trophy, right? Right? That's not the way life works, right? It's good to acknowledge people, every child's efforts and that. But everybody gets a trophy? No. And good dads then help children to learn how to be competitive in a healthy sense, in a healthy sense. For wisdom, dads have a lot of experiences and life skills to pass on to their children. For their future career, children who grow up with fathers who stay involved in their lives end up with better jobs and careers than those who don't. This is critical here for respect of authority. Children who have a strong father learn how to cope with figures in authority, such as teachers and the police. They learn to respect rules and are less likely to be involved in risky behaviors. And finally, then, for happiness, having a loving dad around is an important predictor of a child's future well-being, happiness, and life satisfaction. Well, I trust you've gotten the point here with that dads, you are essential for healthy children, for safe families, and for an orderly society. The fact is, we need you, Dad. We need you. Okay, that was the first sermon. Second sermon is this. What about some biblical characteristics of good fathers? I'm going to quote from a number of scriptures here, but I want to take us to this one, to read this one together here first. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And this is here there where the people of Israel were about to enter into the promised land. And it was some things that God wanted them to know and to remember as they went into that land. Promises of blessing for them. But I don't think it's just a promise to them today. I think the principle is that applies to us here today as well. Listen to what he says here. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So this was something that God said to the men of Israel long ago, but I think equally applies to us in principle today then, doesn't it, too? And here's what you take away. Now, this isn't just for men, isn't just for fathers. It is for all the people of God as well. But here's what I take away from this. So first of all, we must fear the Lord. We must obey the Lord. We must love the Lord. And then we must teach our children to do the same. Fear the Lord, obey the Lord, love the Lord, teach our children to do the same. When we fear the Lord, that is what? That is a profound respect for God, recognizing who he is and his power and his right to rule over us and to tell us what to do. To respect that deeply, fear the Lord, obey the Lord. It's one thing to know what God says, it's another thing to do it and obey it, right? And God promises, again, as a general principle here, that when we are obedient to him, things will go well. Now, as you well know, that doesn't mean we're going to have a perfect life and nothing's ever going to go wrong, right? But as a general principle, as a general truth then, when we are obedient to God, our life tends to go better for us than when we're disobedient, doesn't it? Absolutely. Fear the Lord, obey the Lord, but then what? Love the Lord. Love God first. Love Him with all of our heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then teach your children. And when do you teach? All the time, right? In many different ways, in many different settings. And this is moms too, right? Not just dads. Fear the Lord, obey the Lord, love the Lord. Teach your children to do the same. Well, I want us to consider then here's the second sermon, some biblical characteristics of good fathers. This first off is love. That a good father loves. First of all, a good father loves God. Loves God first. Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? How did he reply? He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So a good dad, a good father, first off, loves God. Loves God with all of his heart, soul, and mind. And loves his neighbor as well. A good father, though, then too, this is critical, I think, a good father loves the mother of his children. A good father loves his wife. We're told in Ephesians 5, what? Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. And in what way are they to love their wives? As Christ loves the church. It's a pretty profound kind of love, isn't it? So, dad, love God first with all your being. And then love your wife, the mother of your children. Love her as Christ loves the church. Love your children. Love your God. Love your wife. Love your children. Love your church. What did Jesus say to his followers? As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Love your church. Love your fellow believers. And then finally, then what? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. And who is your neighbor? Jesus was asked that question. What did he say? Your neighbor is anyone and everyone, right? And in particular, someone who's in need. The story of the Good Samaritan is a neighbor who is in need. And I just dropped an orange right here. I dropped a fake orange out of our Fruit of the Spirit series. By the way, in case you're wondering, we are going to go back to the Fruit of the Spirit series next week. We'll finish that there right there. But for today, I'm going to put the fake orange right back here where it belongs there. So, love your God. Love your wife. Love your children. Love your church. Love your neighbor. A good father loves. A good father then too exhibits leadership. Fact is this, Lord, men, that the Lord has put on your shoulders the responsibility to lead your family with love and a servant heart. Lead your family with love and a servant heart. I've always loved this. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Is found in Joshua chapter 24, where there here is Israel has gone into the promised land here, and Joshua is speaking to them now about how they are to live. Are they going to, whose God are they going to serve? Are they going to serve the gods of Egypt or the gods of the Amorites, the people around them, or are they going to serve God, the Lord God, Yahweh? And here's what he says that I think is an example then for fathers everywhere. He says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, what? We will serve the Lord. See? And that's what a dad needs to do. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. But he leads his family with love and a servant heart. Right? Jesus said, if someone wants to be great in the kingdom of God, if they want to be a leader, then they must first be a servant, right? You're not leading properly if you're not leading with love and the heart of a servant, Dad. Love, leadership, provision. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 there speaks of there were some in the church there that were shirking their responsibilities to care for others, to take care of family or others' financial things. And so Paul says this, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Good fathers provide for their family. Yes, that's financial provision, but there's other kinds of provision as well, isn't there? In Matthew 7, Jesus gives this illustration of the Heavenly Father, which speaks of what good fathers do and says, how much more so than your Heavenly Father? He says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So good fathers love, good fathers lead, good fathers provide. Then good fathers also give wisdom, give wisdom. I like this from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, where here it says, hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. And speaking of wisdom, he says, do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of this of wisdom is this, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow you on you a beautiful crown. Moms, give wisdom, teach their children. So too must dads. Father, impart wisdom to your children. Love them, lead them, provide, and teach wisdom. And this one is not my favorite. You know, I have a lot of favorites of things, you know. This one is not my favorite, but it's one we need. And that's this one right here, correction. How many of you enjoy being corrected? How many of you enjoy being disciplined, right? But how many of you know at the same time how critical it is for you? And I bet, you know, when you're young, you're a child, you don't appreciate it so much. But then you get a little older and you start looking back. And so I know there are some here that maybe chafe a little bit sometimes under what maybe mom or dad says. But I want you to know, when you get a little bit older, you're going to appreciate that. You really are. How many of you have a very different perspective now on your parents' discipline when you got a little bit older, right? Absolutely. So, correction. But Dad, your correction needs to be done the right way. It needs to be done the right way. And that's with a right heart. That heart of love, that heart of wisdom. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's an important job you have. Don't provoke your children. Now, sometimes your kids are going to get angry. I think someone just got angry right there, unless I was misreading that right there, right? Right? So, sometimes kids are going to get angry because they don't like to be corrected, right? But this is different. When he says don't provoke them, it's a needless provocation. Don't needlessly provoke them to anger, but instead bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's correction that comes out of a heart of love and wisdom. Last one then, grace. A good father extends grace. Good fathers have received grace from above, and we need to extend grace to others, including wives and children, right? Luke chapter 15 tells the story of the, what some call the prodigal son. But it's also been suggested that we might call that story of the prodigal son the story of the loving father. Now, it is a story that Jesus told in order to illustrate God's love for people, God's love for the lost, and the joy that the Heavenly Father feels when a lost human being repents of their sin and comes to Him, comes home to Him. But in so doing, it also, though, illustrates what ought to be the heart of a father to extend grace then as well to others, including his own children. You know, I have to say, this would be the fourth sermon that I didn't put in here, okay? I know that some may feel like, you know, I'm not perfect, but I've tried to do that. I've tried to be all of those things, and my kids didn't turn out the way I wanted or expected. The fact is there aren't a lot of guarantees in life, are there, right? And the scriptures put forth general principles on many things that are true. They'd also put forth ironclad promises that are true. And while it is true to be that generally a good father, a good parent, is going to have good results for their children, it doesn't always work out that way, does it? I know that. Children grow up, and they make decisions and choices of their own, don't they? They sometimes go different directions than we want. But it doesn't absolve us of doing what God calls us to do as good parents, good moms, good dads. But it just also then brings home the point of the need to extend grace to wayward children. The need to extend grace to wayward children. And that's what the father in the story of the lost son, the prodigal father, does. He extends grace to a wayward son who came home. And that's what we are to do as well then. Third sermon. Who needs help to be a good father? Who maybe didn't have a good father and you need to look to your Heavenly Father? So that's the last one. We need help from our Heavenly Father. I want you to look at some of the things that our Heavenly Father gives for us or does for us. Notice it says there, unconditional love, provision, wisdom, correction, faithfulness, grace. Does that sound familiar to what we just read before? What Scripture says that fathers, earthly fathers, they come from, they're created by the Heavenly Father, right? And when we talk about God as our Heavenly Father, what does that mean? Not just that He created us, He did, but when we say that God is our Heavenly Father, we're talking about what? Unconditional love, provision, wisdom, correction, faithfulness, and grace. So maybe you didn't have the best father growing up. Maybe you are still wounded by that in some way. You have a Heavenly Father who is all of those things. Or maybe you are a dad who's struggling, who is imperfect. Because like I said, there aren't any perfect earthly fathers, are there? I want you to know, though, that you can turn to your Heavenly Father for wisdom, for guidance, for forgiveness, for help, for strength, to help you to be the dad that you want to be. There's help from the heavenly good Father. I like in Psalm 68, it says that God, He is a father to the fatherless. He is the defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. Well, so what? Well, I want to remind us here of this, that Dad, you are essential. We need you. You are essential workers, Dad. You are critical for healthy children, secure families, and an orderly society. We need you, Dad. So we love you, we thank you, we honor you today. I want to challenge us with these concluding thoughts. Husbands, love your wives. You know, it's been said that the most important thing, the most important gift that a father can give his children is to love their mother. To love their mothers. Husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loves the church. Fathers, love your children. As your heavenly Father loves you. And finally then, to all of us, look to our heavenly Father. Whatever your situation may have been with your father, you have a heavenly Father, a perfect, heavenly, good Father. Look to him. Dad, look to him for wisdom and strength. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can turn to you, you who are perfect, you who love us unconditionally, you who provide for all of our needs, you who pour out wisdom on us, you who are faithful always to us, you who extend grace, grace in our Savior, in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray for those whose hearts are wounded here today, that we would find peace in your presence, Lord. Lord, I pray for the dads here today. We thank you for them. Pray for those who are struggling to fulfill the calling on their lives and their imperfect men, imperfect husbands, imperfect fathers, just as all of us here are imperfect, Lord. We also have imperfect mothers. We have a room full of imperfect people. We have an imperfect preacher. But we thank you that you have extended grace to us in Jesus. Extend grace to our imperfect dads. Help us, Lord, to extend grace to imperfect fathers we may have had. And thank you, Lord, that you are the one in whom we can always put our confident trust. And we pray all of these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.